everyone, and welcome to Minute 110 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again in order to finish off this week is Joe Amadei, the CEO of Virgil Film Entertainment. Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Happy Friday. It's been such a pleasure this week. I tell you, not only getting a chance to revisit this phenomenal film, but also to, chat with you as much as I've gotten to over the past week. It's been great.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a lot of fun. Always yes. Enjoyable talking to you. Yeah. Nothing wrong with talking with other film lovers.
Always a rare thing when you can talk to somebody that actually, knows a lot about film and appreciates right. What they watch.
And the fact that neither of us knows movie quotes is great. Works well. I've already admitted
well,
that.
Well, as of yesterday, we know that I don't. But I haven't.
What is it? Those who do, those who don't teach? So.
I guess. Yeah. And there are quotes that I know, but they're my own quotes or the my own likes or my own, quotes that are embedded into my mind. And not all of them are the most well-known, but quotes are tough. That's one of the reasons why I never go to like trivia nights and things like that, because once they start asking that kind of stuff, I just don't remember everything somebody says in a movie.
Okay.
Unless it really, really means something.
Of course it means something.
This movie has a quote. The movie that you and I are talking about does have a quote that will live on forever.
That it does. Tally ho, right?
Tally ho.
Wait, so you're telling me if I were to give you a quote from The Great Escape, you wouldn't recognize it? You don't think you would recognize it? Or it depends on what type of quote?
I mean, there's certain quotes from The Great Escape that I will recognize. Probably I would recognize it more from The Great Escape than...
One of the things we talked about.
Was it 15 Minutes or 15...
Okay.
What was the darn Eddie Burns film? Right. I mean, some nondescript film that came and went as quick as possible. Right. It's hard to remember quotes from those.
Okay. Understandable.
But, throw down 30 feet of rope. I have people that call me, and that's the first thing they say on the phone before they even say hello.
Well.
Yeah.
But they don't say, throw me 30 feet of rope. That's not the quote.
I forget.
No, isn't it?
I know it's 30 feet of rope.
Isn't it cast down 30 feet of rope?
I don't know. I thought it was throw down 30 feet away. Well, the thing is, it gets passed down. The quote goes starting with, I guess it would be Attenborough, all the way down with each section of the
tunnel. Well, no, it starts from McQueen.
McQueen, yeah.
McQueen, it's send down 30 feet of rope. That's what it is.
Send down 30 feet of rope.
I was tempted to look it up, and then it's send down 30 feet of rope. That scene always reminds me of the game Telephone. That someone starts by saying something, and it's amazing that it does get to the end of the tunnel and they're still saying the same thing. So minute 110 begins with Henderson continuing his briefing and ends with Ryan trying to take it all in. So,
and a lot happens in between.
Definitely.
This is a heavy minute. This is a lot happening in 60 seconds.
Yes. It's not gone in 60 seconds. It's a lot happening in 60 seconds, right?
Yes.
True.
Gone in 60 seconds is a movie that, two or three movies from now, when you and I are doing this again, you'll ask me.
I will probably not, because I'm going to remember that, that I need to give you a pass if I do a movie quote, unless they're, Great Escape movie quotes, then I know that I'll be able to.
I'm sure I saw Gone in 60 Seconds at a drive-in.
You're talking about the original
I'm talking about, is it Barry Newman?
I believe so, yeah. But the remake is Nicolas Cage. That's the one that most people know about. you know.
Yeah, and that's totally forgettable.
That's a separate issue. Just because the movie is forgettable doesn't necessarily mean that the movie title is forgettable.
That's a great title.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the Cage, well, in reality, both movies are not very good. But the first movie is a drive-in movie. It's supposed to be B quality. You're expecting that when you go to see it.
Correct.
Probably wasn't even the first feature at the drive-in. That was probably Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry. But boy, we're really getting off base now.
I've actually seen that movie.
Yeah, me too. At the drive-in.
I didn't see the drive-in. That I did not.
Are there drive-ins in Israel?
No, there are not.
Wow.
I've actually never seen a movie in the drive-in.
To the drive-ins?
No. Even though I've had conversations and on the season that I did Die Hard, I had a movie director on, Kurt Keen, who did a documentary about the drive-ins.
I think I saw that. I did see a documentary about drive-ins. Okay. Got to be the only one.
Probably.
See, where I grew up in Philadelphia, the very first drive-in in the United States was right across the Delaware River from Philly in Camden, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've been, it's not there anymore, but I went to the very first drive-in in history in Camden, New Jersey. So because of that, we had in our area, the Philadelphia area, I'd say growing up, 10 to a dozen drive-ins that were drivable, like within an hour from where I grew up.
Oh, wow.
So it was constant during the summer. That's where the families went because it was cheap and you could, you know, take your kids to the movies and yeah. So we grew up going, if you were a movie going family, drive-ins were a big part of our lives.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And they're all gone now. There's only one drive-in in the whole Delaware Valley, two, I'm sorry. And each one is about an hour and a half away from where I live.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the documentary I was referring to is called Drive-In Movie Memories.
Yep.
2001.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that was directed by Kurt Keen, who...
And you had him on for a Die Hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been in touch with him for years. Actually, it's funny I say that. I haven't been in touch with him since he was on for Die Hard, but I was in touch with him beforehand. He actually made a documentary that really, really moved me. Have you ever seen Dear Zachary?
Best documentary ever made.
That's what I think also. Kurt's the guy who did it.
You know, I was it Stern, Howard Stern? Somebody did a contest years ago, you know, saddest movie ever made. And Dear Zachary is the saddest movie ever made. And in my mind, problem is I can't recommend it to people because it's so upsetting.
It's so upsetting, you know? but it's so moving and it's so personal.
It's so good. I mean, I have it right. It's sitting on my shelf right behind me. And it just destroys you when you watch it because it comes from, you know, without giving
anything away. This is a movie that if anyone goes to watch it, you gotta watch it knowing nothing about the movie. Nothing.
You have to watch it knowing nothing. Nothing at all. To experience this, what has happened. So the same guy that made the drive-in doc made Dear Zachary. Wow. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so this is a perfect example. There's not too many people I can have an actual conversation with about Dear Zachary.
Yeah.
I think my friend Morgan Spurlock turned me on to Dear Zachary.
Morgan just passed away, didn't he?
He talked. Yes, he did. A few months ago. Very sad.
Well, because of all the McDonald's that he was eating. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
I
was fortunate. He actually became he was one of my best friends. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
Still tough, to be honest. Yeah.
Let's talk about something a little more.
Yeah. The thing about Saving Private Ryan is it's fiction. So we always have that. But yeah, there's a lot going on, man, yes, in this minute. And again, a lot of things that are established that will continue. You know, I don't know when, at what point you want to get into the part of the minute where Eddie Burns finally, you know, speaks up. Yeah, okay, you got it.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. First we have Henderson giving more of his briefing. You know, so he was talking about yesterday when he got cut off about the fact of the plan was to leave two bridges, one in Valogne and this one here. We let the Germans take them. We're going to lose our foothold and have to displace.
Good point.
So, yeah. And again, this is a great little tidbit that, you know, Henderson is on the one hand telling Miller and his men what's going on, but on the other hand, they're also telling us, you know, what the last third of this movie is going to be about. You know, there's two bridges and we got one of them. You know, that's what it comes down to. And then Miller looks over and says, "Private, your outfit wants to stay, that's one thing. But your party's over here." Now, I find it very interesting that Miller says it this way, because was it even an option that Henderson and his men were all going to leave their post right now? The idea was just, we're taking Ryan. We're not taking anyone else.
I mean,
you guys have your orders. Our orders are to take Ryan. Your orders are to hold this bridge. You know, that's it.
Yeah, he's getting, I mean, he's very quickly getting to the point of no bullshit here. And
that's
there's
right.
No bullshit.
No bullshit whatsoever.
Is it the following line that he gives him the 3 minutes?
No, because then Ryan says to him, "Sir, I can't leave until at least reinforcements." And then he goes, "You got 3 minutes to gather your gear. Sir, what about them? I mean, there's barely hardly enough." And then you get your friend Eddie Burns.
Yeah.
Who just goes, "Hey, asshole. Two of our guys already died trying to find you. Yeah. All right." And then Ryan looks at Miller and goes, "Sir." And he goes, "Yeah, that's right."
And it's interesting because, you know, Ryan can go two ways at that point. You know, he can go, "Well, you know, I get it, but I'm not leaving." But instead, he cares about the fact that two men died trying to find him. And what does he do?
That's right.
He asks Miller, if all of this is right. And then
he walks over to them. And, you know, first of all, we have a great shot of, before Ryben even starts saying to him, "Hey, asshole," we see the men all standing together, and it's a mixture of men. It's a mixture of the men from the 101, and also a mixture of the guys from the squad. And what I find really amazing about this shot is, first of all, the camera zooms in on them. It's like moving towards them, as if, you know, someone's walking towards them, and they're all clumped together basically, except for Upham, who is on the left hand side. And Upham is leaning against the wall of the bridge. You know, he's got his gun next to him when everyone else is carrying their guns. You know, so it once again is showing us that Upham is still not part of this family. You know, he's still slightly away from them. You know, we'll see it in a few weeks when they're listening to the music. Same thing. He's still standing apart from everyone else.
That's true. But it's powerful. It's you know, you get the what's the word? When he calls him asshole, you don't expect it. You might expect, hey, you know, people die, but Burns' character is very abrupt and very New Yorkish, and he's not going to take any shit. So he's like, "Hey, asshole, two people died." And the realization that hits Ryan, you know, now it's like, oh, shit, you know. What does this bring to the decision? The final decision is, you know, do I leave or do I stay?
Right. Now, what I find really cool about the writing here is, you know, Ryben calls Ryan asshole. When we first met the Minnesota Ryan, back in episode 61. What was Reiben's comment?
Yeah.
He told you.
That's true. Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, he doesn't like the Ryans, I guess. So, I don't know.
Apparently not. Doesn't matter if you're from Minnesota or if you're from Iowa.
Yeah. Good minute, though. Good minute.
And then Ryan turns to the men as he like walks towards them and he goes, "What were their names?" And then Mellish responds and goes, "Erwin Wade and Adrian Caparzo." And then Ryan starts to try to remember it. He goes, "Wade and then Mellish finishes for him. He goes, "Caparzo." You know, that's like something really heavy for someone to have to carry for the rest of their life, to know to have to try and remember the names of the people who gave up their life for you.
And you've never met them.
You know, again, anyone who's listening to this has probably seen this movie. Most of the guys that are here are not going to make it out of this movie alive. Okay. But Ryan will spend some time with all of them. So for him to then remember their names is not as difficult than to remember two anonymous guys' names who are no longer, he never met. But they gave the ultimate sacrifice, quote unquote, for him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you can see that. At least you can begin to see that in Ryan's face. Well, really from the moment he hears the two men died. It's all leading up to what happens in the next minute, So, but it's a very powerful, way to end a week.
Now, there's a great shot when Ryan is asking about their names. They focus on Henderson for a second, and we basically can see that Henderson understands that that's a lost cause.
At that
point. You know, he's not going to be able to convince Ryan to stay at this point.
Yeah.
And it's just the reaction on his face is just great.
Good acting.
You know, from that perspective. Yep, for sure. And the very last moments of this minute are basically Ryan just trying to take this in and realize,
how heavy this is. Men died.
Yeah.
You know?
Not just that men died for him.
For him. Yep.
And that's the thing that
gets heavy stuff in a heavy movie.
Yes, it is. Yes. There you go, mentioning heavy again. Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull in 1985? Wait, so did you get that quote?
God, no. No. What is it?
Really? It's Back to the Future.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. It's probably on T-shirt somewhere.
Probably. Okay, so is there anything else you want to say about this minute?
I'm good. It's been a good week of minutes, and this is a good minute to end my thoughts on. You start asking me something else. How do we end this grand and glorious week?
Okay, so we have our final segment, the Friday segment, is Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg directed films. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
I actually wrote these ones down because, again, there's so many. Same movies that I picked for John Williams.
It could be.
Well, he did. I'm trying to think of movies that Williams didn't do the score.
It doesn't matter.
Top five, Raiders is five. Close Encounters is four. If I said West Side Story, would it? No, I'm only kidding.
You can. I love his version of West Side Story.
That's a whole podcast. You don't go there. It's like, why would you? You only have so many films left in you. Why would you waste? Yeah, War of the Worlds is good. That gets better. Close Encounters. You know, again, Schindler's and Jaws are one and two.
Which Schindler's is one?
Schindler's is, or Jaws is one? Saving Private. God. Saving Private Ryan is three. Jaws is two, and Schindler's is one. Schindler's List is in the top five greatest movies ever made in my book.
What are the other four?
It's all different. I mean, you know, City Lights, It's a Wonderful Life, the silent movie Sunrise, and probably the you know, I throw in The Great Escape, but it's not technically, but no, The Great Escape. But, you know, those movies change. You know, 3 weeks from now, I might exclude one and put in Shane. You know, really all depends on the mood, but Schindler is always, you know, it's every high school in America should watch it. It's a perfect movie and very, very hard to watch.
Yes. Understandable. I still remember, and again, I've told this story other times, so people might have heard it already here, but you probably haven't. I remember when it came out. And I wanted to go see it in the theater. And I kept saying to myself, oh, well, I have to be in the mood to go see it. And then I finally came to the realization that this is the type of movie that you don't necessarily be in the mood for, because it'll put you in the mood.
It'll put you
in. And, you know, within 10 minutes in the theater, you're already in the mood to watch something so powerful and harrowing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it just throws it all out there and what it is. You know, again, it's, you can, you know, next to the documentary footage that they took when they went into the camps, there's nothing more powerful than those shots and that footage. But right up there with it is the story of Oscar Schindler.
Yes, for sure.
You know, and there's been many, many others, you know, since then, there's been so many other movies made about heroic efforts to, you know, lead Jews to safety and stuff like that. And people like Oscar Schindler, have found that there are many people that have, you know, that worked in the resistance in France and some of the other countries that, you know, helped the Allies effort. But Schindler, he was the guy that Spielberg chose to tell the story. And it, you know, Schindler encompasses all of those people. Those people that worked in secret, that their lives, you know, were in jeopardy at any given moment, you know.
Correct.
But they put right above wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
All right. So, Joe, is there anything else you want to say about this movie in general?
This movie is one of those movies that, you know, it's a shame it didn't win the Oscar, but maybe not winning the Oscar gave it more credence to be remembered. You know, in the library of Steven Spielberg films, this is just one of the many, you know, looks at his genius. And, you know, Spielberg is one of those few directors in the history of movies that doesn't seem to be losing his, I don't want to say losing his talent, but losing his genius. You know, even the greatest, even Capra and Ford and Hawks and, dare I say, Scorsese to a certain extent, you know, their later movies are not anywhere near the classics that they put out during their prime. And Spielberg doesn't seem to miss a beat. No, I wasn't a big fan of West Side Story, but technically it's a fantastic film. I mean, the dancing is great, singing is great, the casting is great. It's just, I just wish it was another movie.
Right. Okay, I understand that.
But everything that he does, I mean, even The Fabelmans, as small of a film and personal of a film as that was, it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he doesn't seem to be losing his touch. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Which is why we keep going to see his movies.
Which is why we keep going to see his movies. Yes, sir.
That's right. All right. right. So, Joe, would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at virgilfilms.com, or feel free to email me at joe@virgilfilmsent.com. And again, it's been my pleasure to do this with you once again, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. I'm also on Instagram.
Sounds good.
So I'll be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, earn this.
Tally-ho!
My solitude, you